The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Lemon fizzy water, sparkling water, lemon, osmosis, carbonated, filtered, distilled. See, in trouble.
From deserts to tropical Amazon rainforests to the Housatonic River in our backyard, today's guest, Robert Heinzman, a Yale School of the Environment graduate, a managing partner at Growth River, and a member of the PCB Advisory Committee of Lee, Massachusetts. Robert is bringing big picture science, leading the charge on PCB bioremediation in the Housatonic River Valley. I'm Leslie Gabriel, your super water man and water ambassador of And So It Flows, where we're bringing rock and roll water culture from 89.7 WTBR FM in the Berkshires to all around our big blue planet. Stay tuned.
In the abundance of water, the fool will get thirsty.
Welcome back to And So It Flows. I'm your Super Waterman here at 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, 88.1 in Lee, and wherever you get your podcasts. Today we start off the show with Green Day's Holiday, which opens with rain, but stands as a direct anti-war anthem, a punch against foreign policy disasters like Iraq, and a mirror to military conflicts like the one we're having today in Iran. Like, subscribe, and share with your water-loving friends. It really helps water help you.
Down like an armor gathered flame. The shame, the ones who died without. got a leak every day this week. Wet ass planet, other planets dry and bleak. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, you living on a wet ass planet. Bring your body and a cup, drink this wet ass planet. Get it salty, get it fresh, don't trash this wet ass planet. I'm the earth and I got a moon. I birth all life, then I grab a spoon. You better change it up very soon, before December looking like June. Right on top, my ice is a vibe. I am the reason that you are alive. Don't let it melt, you will survive. Clean up the river, come take a dive. Plant fruit trees, set up hives. Plants and bees, let them thrive. I want you to let us live, and really to chill and just open your eyes. Make it beam, solar scene, public parks, public streams. Cook organic, keep it clean. Trees and forests, keep it green. Yeah, 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 yeah. Give me two hydrogen, add it to oxygen. Same old water, been cycling, cycling in the well. The table's full of me. Run down the mountain, filter through trees. When I'm solid, that's that ice. Steam it up while you cook that rice. Every crystal's got that glow. Precipitation's cold, it snows. Now put your hands in the air for this wet ass planet. And wave it like you care for this wet ass planet. We're talking watersheds on this wet ass planet. Now make it rain as you can on this wet ass planet. Earth got leeches, crabs on beaches. Water is life, better keep it within reaches. 3 days without it, you'll be hearing screeches. Drink it, clean it, leave it to the eels. It's a food chain, we got fish and seagulls. Lobsters, clams, and be bottom feeders. Filter the water, make it cleaner. Water's a must, we are water creatures. When I say wet ass, you say
You're back with And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Super psyched to be with you. I'm your Super Waterman Ambassador for Water. You know, now it's time for some water news. And, you know, sometimes water news can be kind of depressing, you know, the way human beings treat water. But today, rather than depression, you know, let's go for something uplifting. So today, this is from the Good News Network. This is a website with just great news, all kinds of great news. Makes you feel good about humanity. But in this particular case, there is a man who saves a baby otter with CPR. A life is a life, no matter what it is. This is from a few days ago. It takes a village to raise a child, they say. Well, a story comes to us from Alert Bay in British Columbia, where it took a village to save one. It was a retired logger and fisherman, Gordon Mellish, who first rescued three baby otters, having been told by a neighbor on the marina that the trio were tangled in a fishing net. A small crowd gathered around the man as he cut them free. The first two seemed unharmed. The third wasn't moving. CTV News, Adam Sawatsky said, the man spoke to the man about what happened next. He gave the heart a little pump. Nothing was going on, so I grabbed it and picked it up. I wrapped my mouth around its nose and gave it a breath of life. Mellish was given mouth-to-mouth, has given mouth-to-mouth CPR on 10 humans across his years on the water, but never to an otter. Coming out of the crowd was Robin Quirk, a local whose motherly instinct drove her to care for the revived baby otter, building a shelter from the sun and birds of prey, and placing down a bed for it to lie on while expert advice was consulted. A wild animal rescue center was a long drive and a ferry ride away, so Quirk cared for the otter in her car overnight before making the trip the next day. You know how if you can't get your baby to sleep, you can take it for a drive, Robin told Sawatsky. Well, the otter slept the whole way. Arriving at the rescue center, the otter spent a week in rehabilitation before returning to Alert Bay, where both Mellish and Quirk were invited to watch the little baby otter return to the water.
Now repeat after me. That's our water news for today here with And So It Flows. Super psyched to be with you. We got some more coming your way. Stay tuned. Share, like, and subscribe And So It Flows to all your water-loving friends around the world. Make sure you get that podcast. Make sure you share about us. I'm your Super Waterman, and love your water.
Well, it's almost nearing that time in the show, folks, but I dare not go without singing this one. I don't think anybody will know it, of course. Down by the bay, where the water runs grow, back to my home, I dare not go. For if I do, my mother will say, did you ever see a goose kissing a moose down by the bay, where the water runs grow, back to my home, I dare not go. For if I be, my mother will say, did you ever see a whale with a polka dot tail down by the bay, let me hear ya, where the water must go, back to my home, I dare not go. For if I be, my mother will say, did you ever see a fly wearing a tie down by the bay? Did you ever see a spider drinking apple cider down by the bay? Did you ever see a teacher kissing a creature down by the bay, where the water must grow, back to my home, I dare not go. For if I do, my mother will say, did you ever see a bear combing his hair down by the bay? Did you ever see llamas eating their pajamas down by the bay? Did you ever see a snail delivering the mail down by the bay, where the watermelons grow, back to my home, I dare not go. For if I do, my mother will say, did you ever see an apple wearing a bapple? Did you ever see an orange eating a blouse? That doesn't quite make it. Did you ever have a time when you couldn't make it rhyme down by the bay? Hey! Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Comes from within, always will and always been. Hello spider, geometric wonders woven with your string. Locusts fly in strict formation, even though they've got no king. You with eyes use them to see. Walks the doe with twins, careful mother bear with cubs. Stars are mapping out the future, even if you don't look up. What you feel will be enough. apostles wink from where they're resting in the creek bed cobblestone. Ancient deluge, rainbow promise, history is in men's souls. And you don't have to think to know. Somewhere up there in the mountain, where I know I'll be received. Somewhere up there in the mountain, constitutions in the rocks, all the doors of your perception, she is waiting to unlock. All you have to do is knock. Somewhere up there on the mountain, where I know I'll be received.
You should be quiet.
Order him, he think he is.
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Listening to And So It Flows on WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, where water gets loud, water music, water culture, comedy, poetry, deep water conversations. I'm Leslie Gabriel, your Super Waterman ambassador for water. Find us on Apple, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Podcast Republic, and anywhere you get your podcast. We've got some more music coming your way. Super psyched to be with you, and stay tuned. Love your H2O.
Lonely moon child, dreaming in the shadows. Stacy, can I come over after school?
After school.
We can hang around by the pool.
Hang by the pool.
Did your mom get back from her business trip?
Business trip.
Is she there or is she trying to give me the slip?
Welcome back, water lovers. This is Leslie, your Super Waterman, ambassador for water. So psyched to be with you on And So It Flows. And we're launching now a two-part series, two episodes on bioremediation. And I'm so psyched for both of those interviews that Robert Heinzman has actually decided to join me and himself on the shores of Woods Pond, which is going to be one of the areas that GE is, cross our fingers, going to clean up. And we're pushing for bioremediation. Thanks, Robert. Thanks for joining, And So It Flows. Super psyched to have you. And let's explore how nature heals our water. Let's dive in.
And today I have the pleasure and the honor of sitting down with Robert Heinzman. He is on the PCB Advisory Committee. So thanks for being with us here in And So It Flows. And why don't you say hi to our water-loving friends here and around the world.
Yeah, so thanks for having me, Leslie. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. So tell me a little bit about... who you are. Tell our listeners and our viewers who you are.
Well, I'm on the PCB Advisory Committee for the town of Lee, in where we are located right now. And we'll talk about the surroundings here because they're quite relevant to our conversation today. I have a background in environmental science, environmental chemistry, and international conservation. I currently work as a management and business consultant. And I have been part of a group of people in the town of Lee for a number of years that are helping to navigate the situation with this body of water and the contamination of PCBs that is quite significant.
And this is Woods Pond here in Lee.
Yeah.
For folks who may not know,
Lee Lennox, the town line is somewhere in here.
Yes, yeah. It's amazing. So recently you wrote a letter, or you created some kind of document, and it was sent where? Where was it sent?
Okay, so the cleanup of the river, of its PCBs, which of course are a very toxic and persistent organic compound created by Monsanto, put in the river through accident, and maybe not so accidentally, by General Electric over many years, resulted in this being a Superfund site. So the EPA is involved through a law called CERCLA. That's the law that governs the Superfund process. And as a result of that, EPA said, GE, you've got to grow up, you've got to clean your room, you've got to clean your act, you've got to get your PCBs out of the room. As a result of that, they a lot of pieces of paper changed hands with a lot of lawyers and a lot of lawsuits, et cetera, for two and a half decades to land to where we are now, which is to start to implement the remedy, as it's called by the EPA, to the tune of $500 to $600 million, all on GE's putting the bill for that. One of the pieces of that remedy is to deal with ecologically sensitive habitats, which are vernal pools. Vernal pools are seasonally inundated wetlands that are adjacent to the river corridor and many miles of river here that are going to be cleaned up. And they're ecologically important for amphibians, fairy shrimp, other species. So the Mass Department of Environmental Protection, the Mass DEP, got involved in the permitting process, the permit that EPA grants to GE to tell them how to do the cleanup, saying you've got to be careful with this ecologically sensitive habitat. So, long story short, the EPA, the GE has to do some tests to figure out how they can mitigate, remove, buffer, otherwise keep in place the PCBs in these seasonally inundated pools. Some of them are vernal pools, some of them are quite contaminated with very high concentrations of this dangerous chemical. And so they made an argument that I felt was scientifically naive, and so myself, in my role as a member of the advisory committee with the town of Lee, decided to point that out to EPA. And so we issued a letter to go to all the local leaders and politicians in the state of Massachusetts in a press release to draw attention to the fact that the solution that EPA has contracted GE to implement is kind of missing some really significant components.
What I read that letter, and you know, one of the things that science consistently gets mangled with is it's hard to translate to regular speak. And one of the things of this podcast is to make water more accessible, and that's even in the game of pollution. I read that letter, and what I understood is that they're using, what they're considering using, is some kind of carbon granules, let's call it, or pellets.
Think charcoal.
Charcoal pellets.
It's called activated carbon, but think charcoal.
And what you were saying, and please correct me if I misunderstood, what you were saying is that charcoal
doesn't solve the problem.
It doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't capture it. It absorbs it, so it becomes a lump of PCBs.
Okay, so there's one scientific concept that we need to discuss. I'll keep it light.
It's okay.
Lipophilic, which means fat-loving. Lipophilic-loving. PCBs are fat-loving molecules.
Okay.
Which means that they accumulate up the food chain. The little things that eat, like worms and other organisms in the river and lake and pond here, and then those are eaten by something else, and those are eaten by something else, and in the process, the PCB concentrations, like mercury, is another substance that bioaccumulates up the food chain.
Yeah, yeah.
So by the time you get to the top, you can have very high concentrations in the fish, the fowl, etc. You can have very high concentrations of PCBs. What adding carbon does is it does interrupt that process, because PCB molecules love carbon more than they love fat, so they stick themselves to the carbon and they become immobilized. So the idea of adding activated carbon, charcoal, to these vernal pools is a test. It's an experiment. This is a research project to find the best way to mitigate or remove or otherwise decrease the toxicity of the PCBs in the vernal pool, so they don't bioaccumulate up the food chain, right? And what they're testing is how effective activated carbon, charcoal, etc., to these pools will actually do that. Will they decrease the PCBs significantly so to protect the species of animals, so that they don't need to go in and just dig up the vernal pools completely and then have to go through the process of recreating them? This is the kind of question that they're studying. What will be the impact of adding activated carbon on the fairy shrimps, on the amphibians, on the other creatures that depend in their life cycle on these vernal pools?
From what you were thinking about the carbon, what are you thinking? If they're missing something, what do you say they're missing? Or, well, what would be the impact of said carbon versus some other methodology?
To be not totally unfair, but to be a little snarky to EPA, they're missing a hole that you could drive a school bus through.
Okay.
in their logic. And I think they know it. What I can't figure out is why. The hole that they could drive a school bus through, the hole in their logic, is that they're already, this is already a carbon-rich environment. This is muck. This is pond muck, right? Deep, organic, you know, you stand in a vernal pool, walk around it, what do you get your feet covered in, right?
Yeah.
All the leaf litter and all of the... All
it's yeah, it's matter. Yeah, it's organic matter.
It's a lot of, it's a very, got a high
percentage... Sludge, people call it, too.
Yeah, it's got a high percentage of organic carbon in it, like a rich soil has a high percentage of organic carbon in
it.
And so the PCB molecules are already kind of stuck. The technical term is adsorbed. They're stuck to the carbon. So they want to add, but there's some PCB molecules that might be mobile still. So they throw the carbon, the charcoal in, activated carbon, in a product called cetamide, the little pellets, manufactured pellets, but it's just carbon, like carbon in a water filter, exactly the same. To pick up any mobile PCBs and lock them up so they can't get available to the food chain. That doesn't do anything to change the concentration of PCBs in the vernal pools.
Wow.
It doesn't actually remove them. And that PCBs, those PCBs immobilized for the time being, are still going to be mobile in the future and available. The hole is that they could be doing something to actually destroy the PCBs in place.
Oh, okay. Would you say that would be something like microbial input? Or some type
you know
of other...
You know the
yeah, well, there. I don't
it's,
know no, all the
way.
Answer.
I put it this way. It's about taking a building an army of hundreds of millions of little foot soldiers and dumping them into the...
And the foot soldiers are made of...
Bacteria. And there are a specific type of bacteria. The trouble with PCBs is that they have a chlorine in them, a lot of chlorine around them. That's what makes them so toxic, and it's what makes them so stable. They're saturated with chlorine molecules, which a lot of species like bacteria that would otherwise eat these molecules, because they're hydrocarbons, they can eat them, right? They get energy from breaking them, from chewing on them. They can't get near them because of the chlorine, but there's a couple species of bacteria that actually go in and can remove the chlorine molecules from, atoms rather, from the PCB, and then they're served up as lunch for a variety of microorganisms.
Yeah, so they become inert.
They become
essential.
less toxic. They become less protected or less defended against natural biodegradation or being broken apart by the natural processes of microorganisms in the soil and in the water. So it's called bioremediation. How can we remediate the toxicity of the PCBs in the soil and the water with a biological agent, these millions of little...
Which already exist on Earth.
They're native right here. But you put concentrations in there, and that it doesn't get rid of all the PCBs, but it can significantly reduce. And in lab studies, bench studies, where you do it on a laboratory bench, you can decrease the PCBs in a matter of weeks by 80%.
That would be amazing.
Yeah,
that would
be a lot less control. You can still get 50 to 60% degradation with PCBs. So the question is why aren't we testing that? Because we know that the carbon is not going to get rid of the PCBs.
That's a good reason.
It'll lock it up from the food chain. But why aren't we actually just at least asking the question, which has been proven in PCB contamination sites around the world? Because it turns out PCBs are everywhere. They were manufactured wildly all over the world and distributed wildly. Everybody's dealing with this problem. Bioremediation is...
Thank you, Monsanto.
Tool. Yeah. Well, not just Monsanto. I mean, there were Russian companies, and there were South American companies, and there were South African companies, and companies all over the world. It's not a complex molecule to manufacture. In the United States, it was Monsanto. But if you add the bacteria, as they're doing on many sites around the world, you can greatly reduce the toxicity. And all we're asking is, provide us the scientific rationale for excluding this from this test, from the solution. That's all we're asking.
So for those just tuning in, you're listening to And So It Flows. You may be viewing this as well, as we're bringing everything to video as well. You're listening to And So It Flows, WTBR FM 89.7 in Pittsfield Community Radio, going all around the world. You could share, subscribe to the podcast, like it, share it with your water-loving friends. I'm sitting here with Robert Heinzman on a pond called Woods Pond, where a majority of the PCBs in our specific region are buried or in.
Locked up in the sediment.
And you speak to something really remarkable. Like, for me, after some of the research I've done and listening to the grapevine of what's been going on here for decades, there is a woman by the name of Donna Bedard, who was who found the locally occurring microbe while working for General Electric. And in 1990, Jack Welch, the CEO at that time of General Electric, said, we're going to shut down GE Labs. We're not going to do the cleanup, and we're going to put our feet in the silt. Do you think some of her work could be proposed here, or some of the work that is in being done in other areas of our planet?
Dr. Bedard's work was early. It's been taken quite a bit further there than what she did. It's actually been used on many sites around the world. Turns out the U.S. military is pretty good at cleaning up its messes. When you give a job to a military organization, it gets done. And they're mandated to clean up some of their sites. So there's been work done in the Hawaiian Island chain. There's been work done at Quantico. There's been work done at New Bedford Harbor off the coast here on Long Island, all on PCBs. And all of them use this microbe. And
wow.
And so when you read the scientific literature, which I do, and I won't punish your listeners with details. But when you read it, they say, look, there's no silver bullet for PCBs. They're pernicious. They're a tough critter to get rid of. They're a very stable molecule. But there is a silver basket of integrated solutions. And when you read the literature, at the top of the list is bioremediation as part of an integrated approach. And we don't know how well it'll work here. We're pretty clear, though, that it will work to some extent, just because the science has proven that, as well as the field application of people trying to clean up PCBs and other contaminated sites that I just mentioned. So why aren't we testing it? Why is it not part of the solution set? Because there is no silver bullet, but we need a silver basket. Right now, we're applying 20th century technology, dredge and dump. It happens to be 2026, last I checked.
It's 21st century.
And the investment in research, because this is a global problem, and the investment in the science and in the applied science and the actual development of solutions in the field has evolved a lot since Dr. Bedard's time.
Yeah, there's another gentleman down in Baltimore.
University of Maryland.
University of Maryland, Baltimore campus, I believe. And Upal Ghosh, who's also...
Yeah, Dr.
Ghosh. Dr. Ghosh, who's brought it forward. And I'm sure there are a few other scientists who brought it forward.
There are.
The thought I had is to you, what in your hypothesis, in your thought, why do you think the folks over at either EPA or General Electric have decided not to use the thing right in front of us? The thing that Donna and others have brought forth into the 21st century, why do you think they've overlooked it?
I can't speculate on that. If you ask them why today it's not part of the solution, EPA, being a bureaucracy that creates pieces of paper that allow them to create other pieces of paper that allow others to create pieces of paper that have rules on them, they'll say the little pieces of paper do not have bioremediation included in the remedy, so therefore
we can't add it at this time?
We can't add it, which to me, as having worked for the federal government and other large bureaucracies like that in my career, I understand why they can't do that, but I can't call it anything other than institutional stupidity.
Yeah, it's inertia.
Yeah.
It's my father used to say people would then have to think.
Well, the other issue, though, is also they inked a deal with General Electric. General Electric, this is in the Air and Space Division of General Electric. They're interested in manufacturing space, rockets, satellites. This is for them. This is probably most of them, I would imagine. This is something that they were inherited from two generations of GE leadership ago. And it's on their books. They have a contract for how to deal with it. They have a budget associated with that contract. And they're going to execute it. And they're going to execute it well. And they're going to do exactly what's in the contract. Bioremediation is not in the contract. If EPA brings that too forcefully to General Electric, General Electric can say, we're walking away. You broke the contract. We're taking you to court. This is what GE people have told me. And it makes sense. It makes sense because they're a corporation. They're saying, look, we have a deal. We have a contract. We're going to fulfill the contract. Bioremediation, for some reason, was not included in the contract, which to me is also a little bit ludicrous, given that in the mid-90s, GE's, perhaps it was greenwashing, but I think that there was some genuine scientific legitimacy to the arguments they made. They produced a video, I don't know if you've seen it, in the mid-90s, saying, let's not dredge and destroy this beautiful natural ecosystem. Let's wait until we develop bioremediation technology.
They were working on it right in Pittsfield. They were working,
yeah,
you know, they were working on it, and it was shut down.
So why are they not talking about it? I'm flummoxed. And why...
Flummoxed. Two flummoxed people right here.
Yeah, yeah. So why GE didn't want to... Why EPA didn't put bioremediation testing into the vernal pool study which is very small, it's very circumscribed, to test the efficacy or the effectiveness of bioremediation in these particular chemical, natural environment conditions. Why did they even do that? I'm absolutely flummoxed, because this is not cutting-edge, frothy, uncertain science. This is something that's been understood for decades. And why aren't we at least testing it? Because bacteria, sugar, water in a stainless steel vat. It's not expensive to grow these things. You're just creating a brew, a bacterial brew.
That sounds like a great way to complete. We're going to break this up. We have another about 15 minutes to go, but this is a good place to cause another episode, because I want to bring this into two episodes, because it's really fascinating. I'm sitting here with Bob Heinzman, Robert Heinzman, one of the three Bobs that were recently spoke at a deep dive event. We're here with And So It Flows, the only show for H2O. I am your Super Waterman, Ambassador for Water. We're sitting on the shore, or on, right on Woods Pond. And, you know, we will live to see another day. The idea here is to share this knowledge with as many people as possible. Super psyched that you're with us. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Back at the door. Oh, sit on the hall Sunday morning. smartest, you eat M&M's, and you think all our money looks pretend. Yeah, we got Bryan Adams, hey, you got Bruce Springsteen, but we can't drink in bars when we're just 19. You got Brad Pitt, but we got Keanu Reeves, but we got the best lake fishing, you best believe. Yeah, you make fun of us cause we spell color with a U. You think you're all that, Mr. Red, White, and Blue. We say hey, you say y'all. Yeah, we both got pro football. Except we got big balls and a longer field. We say Z, you say Z. Sure, we watch all your TV. You got a stronger armor down there, but men up here, we got stronger beer. You got Dunkin' Donuts, we got Timmy's. We got more land, but bro, you got more cities. You sure love the NFL, MLB, and the NBA. But to the great white north, hockey is the only game. Hey, we say hey, you say y'all. Yeah, we both got pro football. Except we got big balls and a long field. We say Z, you say Z. Sure, we watch all your TV. You got a stronger army down there, but men up here, we got stronger beer. So here's to you, my southern neighbor. All kidding aside, it takes me 6 beers to get pissed drunk, but for you, it takes 9, sucker. We say hey, you say y'all. Yeah, we both got pro football. Except we got big balls and a long field. We say Z, you say Z. Sure, we watch all your TV. You got a stronger armor down there, but men up here, we got stronger beer. Yeah, we got stronger beer. Whoa, we got stronger beer.
Yeah, we do, baby.
Go! Feynman once stood at the seashore, and he wrote something that reads less like physics and more like poetry. I stand at the seashore alone and start to think. There are the rushing waves, mountains of molecules, each stupidly minding its own business, trillions apart, yet forming white surf in unison. He was describing water, but he was also describing light.
Lemon fizzy water, sparkling water, lemon, osmosis, carbonated, filtered, distilled. See, in trouble. In the abundance of water, the fool will get thirsty.